Support comes from Hampton Roads Community Foundation, partnering with donors from all walks of life to improve Southeastern Virginia through grants, scholarships, and leadership initiatives. Learn more at hamptonroadscf.org.
Hello, everyone. I'm Barbara Hamlee. Who are you? Are you a non-believer in yourself and your abilities, a negative person, a procrastinator or distraction seeker? Or are you an optimist, charismatic collaborator, or hustler in a positive way? What's the relationship between how you think of yourself and how others perceive you? Up next on Another View, meet China Watson, author of Who Do You Think You Are? Your Journey to Your Inner Strength. That's coming up next on Another View, right after this national, regional, and local news from NPR and WHRO News.
Discussing today's topics from an African-American perspective, this is Another View.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Another View. I'm Barbara Hamlee. Before we get into our conversation, and it's going to be a great conversation today, a couple things happening in the community. You know, I always like to tell you about good things that are going on in Hampton Roads. So tomorrow night, April the 24th, Friday, the Hampton Roads Jazz Ella Fitzgerald's celebration continues at the Ferguson Center. It's at 7:30 p.m. featuring the John Pizzarella Trio with Catherine Russell and pianist Benny Green and Jay Sennett's 0 to 60 Quartet. Gotta go. Tickets are at FergusonCenter.org. I know Jay would love to see you guys out there, so go out, have a good time at the Ferguson Center. And then on Saturday, April the 25th, from 10 until 2, 10 a.m. until 2 p.m., the Basilica of St. Mary's is hosting a community health fair, and they are doing free health screenings, wellness info, nutrition demos, dance lessons, lunch, and everything, and it's free. So come on out, support the event, learn some ways to stay healthy. That is on the Community Health Fair, Saturday, April 25th, from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. at the Basilica of St. Mary. If you want more information, you can call 757-749-5576. So, and one other thing, let me say in advance that this evening I will be honored by the volunteer Hampton Roads with the Lenora Matthews Lifetime Achievement Award. I am so humble and I am so appreciative, and I thank them. Thank you, volunteer Hampton Roads, and thank you everyone who plans to come out this evening. This is, y'all know, I don't do this for accolades, so this is strange for me, but I am so grateful, and I just wanted to say thank you publicly while I had the moment to do that. So we all do it, form opinions of others based on how they dress, how they talk or interact with us on a personal level. Sometimes we're right, other times we miss the mark based on our own perceptions. But have you ever taken the time to truly examine who you really are? Have you ever asked yourself the question, who do you think you are? Our guest today has done the work and answered the question for herself, and she wrote a book about it to help you do the same. It's called Who Do You Think You Are? We welcome to Another View the author, Ms. China Watson. Hi, China. How you doing?
Hi. I'm excited.
Oh, I'm glad. Well, we're really happy to have you on today. So why this book and why now?
Well, this book was a few years in the making. It was during COVID. And I started in 2022, and the actual title of the book came from a poem by Maya Angelou, and it was a 3-year-old little girl recited the poem. And I want to say the name of the poem is called Hey Black Child. Mm-hmm. And the way she started the poem out, and this is like at least 15, 16 years ago, but it resonated with me. The way that she started the poem was, Do you know who you are, who you really are? And do you know that you can be what you want to be if you try to be what you can be? And that, just that beginning of the poem, and a 3-year-old memorized it, just made me say, you know what? We all need to know who we are, because it's all about our mindset. And right now was super important for me, because I've always struggled with understanding who I was. Mm. And people would tell me, oh my God, you're so amazing. And I had imposter syndrome. I didn't think so.
Why is it, you know, when I was growing up, because I'm old. No, I'm older, as my mother said, never old. But imposter syndrome was not a term. Okay?
It
was not a thing. Why is it that this generation particularly seems to be so keyed in on that? And why, and as opposed to being authentic?
Well, I believe that social media has expectations of people. You see all the flashy things, and whether it's, you know, people with flashy cars, with money, with, you know, positions, with, you know, I think that that people are a little bit more shallow than what they used to be. But I try to remain genuine, and I really want to focus in inwardly on developing myself as well as others. And that's how the whole book came about. I wrote the book because I used to post every single day, and I still do, positive things to get my morning going. And I used to do it just to inspire myself and just to get my mindset in a certain place before I took on the world. And I was like, well, why not share with everybody else? Mm-hmm. And so when I started encouraging other people, I was like, you know, every day posting. And then I did a fast, and I didn't post for 30 days. Mm-hmm. And I had so many people saying, why, you know, we missed you. You know, we need your motivation. Come back.
And so people are hungry for that motivation.
Yes.
Why is it so hard for us to truly take a serious look at ourselves? Because that requires some honesty, right?
Yes, it does. I think it's very difficult to take a look at yourself, because you have to actually accept some hard truths. You have to be willing to, one, be honest with yourself, but then two, accept what it is that you're realizing, and then make a decision. Are you going to stay this way? Are you going to be intentional about changing and becoming better? Or are you just going to live life going through the flow and allowing others to label you and for you to be whatever other people want you to be?
When the book is structured so that you have a story that kind of goes along with various personas, I guess we could say, right?
Yeah.
But are people, does there have to be a catastrophic event in order for people to start this journey? Or I guess what I'm asking is, what is the catalyst that makes you do this?
The catalyst is, are you satisfied? And it doesn't have to be a traumatic event that happened to you. I know it usually stems from something, but the question is, are you happy with your life currently? Do you want to see changes? How do you feel about your success? What about your health? What about your faith? And all these things, once you determine the answers to that, then you decide, okay, am I going to stay the same? And so it does not have to be a traumatic situation. Right. Mm-hmm. It just needs to be a decision, and it needs to be intentional.
And then you bring up faith. The role of faith in this, what is that?
So I joke about this all the time. I always tell people, and I post videos, and I say, you know what? I am not a Bible thumper, but I love the Lord. I know the Lord, and I trust the Lord. And one thing about me is, my grandmother used to pray over our family on her knees every single night. So I know sometimes when I don't understand, like, why am I getting blessed? I know it's from a long history of prayers. And sometimes I don't act like I know the Lord, but I do very well. And so I know faith is the foundation. of my life. Mm-hmm. Yes.
And that also allows you then to be honest
with
yourself. For sure. 757-440-2665 or 1-800-940-2240 are the numbers to call to join our conversation. Have you taken a serious look at yourself? Are you interested in making a change? Give us a call and let's talk about it. 757-440-2665 or 1-800-940-2240. So let's talk about some of the personas. So the non-believer, this, the person that goes, I'm not who people think I am. I'm not, I don't believe in myself.
Yeah.
How does that
work out? So Horace, he is the non-believer and he really had low self-esteem. He was beat down. He worked a blue collar job and he just was really feeling defeated. Mm. But it took the faith of his wife. His wife would speak life into him. His wife would push him. His wife prayed over him. And that helped Horace to have the faith, so to speak, mm-hmm. to turn his view of himself around after over time. She would do this constantly, even without him knowing. And he had an opportunity. And so he was afraid at first and his wife pushed him. And so
An opportunity to move up in his job.
Yeah.
So because when you first start to read Horace's story, I mean, he was taking care of the family.
Yeah.
He was working.
Yeah.
You know, and so forth. But it seemed like there was something missing.
Yeah.
That was on
the inside, mm-hmm. because you couldn't see it from the outside. It's like, oh, he's a great guy. He takes care of his family. And, you know, but his wife, who was a homemaker, she was kind of like the backbone and the solid foundation of that household. Mm-hmm. Because if you don't believe that you're amazing, then your results won't be as amazing as they could be.
So when if you're examining yourself and you're looking at that and you say, I want to make a change, what do you do?
Well, the first thing that you do is, well, you first have to identify that.
Yeah.
You know, that's the first thing is awareness, because there's so many people that are unaware that I interact with on a daily basis that just have no clue that they don't believe or that they have any of these other personas attached to them.
Now, I know you're in HR, and so you work with a lot of employees and, you know, and as you're talking with them about growing in their career or where they are in their career, is that what you hear sometimes?
I do. And thankfully, I have a gift to identify things that people don't see within themselves. When people are talking to me, when they come for advice, I share with them, you know, based on these skills and abilities, I see you doing X, Y, and Z. I speak life into people. I'm the person that if you know, are concerned about your body image, which one of these characters experienced that. Mm-hmm. I speak life and to say, you know what, regardless of what your body image is, this is what I see. So I always see beyond what other people see in themselves.
So if you're trying to make this change, Chyna, do you need other people to help you to do this?
Absolutely.
Or can you do it on your own?
You can try. But to be honest with you, even for myself, I had to invest in a therapist. I have experienced trauma in my life. And sometimes those experiences, those past experiences, shape who you are today. Mm-hmm. So sometimes just, you know, writing your affirmations, going to conferences, taking classes, reading books is not enough. It helps. But it's not enough sometimes. Sometimes it's deeper than the surface. And, you know, the average person can't do it on their own.
What do you say to people who say, oh, this is hocus pocus stuff? You know, those affirmations. What's the power behind an affirmation?
So there are power in your words. And what I get people to do is I say, look at those who actually follow this practice. look at people who actually express gratitude all the time. Look at people whose mindsets are positive. Look at what their life is like. That's an example for you to know that there is power in your words. And I see it all the time, even within myself. Mm-hmm. When I have a negative mindset, or when I think something's not right and I'm like, oh, that will never work, it usually doesn't.
Because you've said it will never work.
I've said it. But when I put in the atmosphere, oh no, I expect it to be an amazing outcome. I expect things to be great. I am happy. I am whole. I am full. That's how I feel.
And that's how it manifests.
That's how it manifests.
People have a really hard time understanding that.
I know. There's a lot of broken people out here. And I am included in that, but I really try and strive hard to become better. I'm intentional about what I do. Whenever I need rejuvenation, I know what I have to do. I just went to a conference last week that Eric Thomas hosted, and I really needed that because I was feeling myself like, okay, I'm overwhelmed. I gotta replenish. And so part of it is, again, awareness. You have to know what you need, when you need it.
And then not be afraid to go.
Who you need to be around.
Yes, yeah. when that's happening.
Yeah.
757-440-2665 or 1-800-940-2240. Let's talk about the negative Nelly and Nathan, I think it was, in the book.
Nancy
and Nathan, uh-huh. Yes, the negative one. So, yeah. You know, negativity is a real problem.
It is. So this is a couple that got together based on both of them being very negative. And
so their negativity attracted them to each other.
Yes. It's like they agreed upon the negative stuff. And but it took a turn when, you know, Nathan started to turn on Nancy and becoming negative towards her. And that's when, you know, things took a bit of a turn for their relationship.
Mm. Yeah. So tell us more about that.
So Nathan was a bit older than Nancy. Nancy used to have a phenomenal body. And that's the character that I mentioned earlier about her body image was a little bit different. As she got older, it was a little bit different. And so Nathan said, I'm not going to marry you unless you lose weight and get more fit. And she was like, I'm not dealing with that. So that's where that story took a turn, and they parted ways for a while. Mm-hmm. And she started to work on herself because her self-esteem was really messed up as a result of her gaining weight. Mm-hmm. And so Nathan realized that, you know what? I really miss her. I love her. There's some things I need to work on. And so they both were separately working on each other, on themselves, and then eventually come back together. But they were fine as long as they both were being negative about other things.
But when it
became internal within their relationship is when she was like, I can't deal with this.
Sometimes when you're in relationship and you're not on the same page, how important is it for you to, or let me rephrase, are you considered selfish if you decide that you have to make a change because this situation is not working for you?
Well,
or because as you look at who do I think I am?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it can be viewed as selfish, but the reality is that to me, that's self-love. That's self-love when you decide that, you know what, this is not working. I don't like this negativity or whatever the circumstance is in that relationship. Mm-hmm. When you decide to make a change for yourself because of something that is making you feel bad about, that is self-love, not selfish.
Mm.
Yeah. Okay. And I'll use the word self-full.
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 Okay.
Yeah.
So one of the affirmations here, or I love the quotes you have, Albert Einstein, in this particular instance, you have, stay away from negative people. They have a problem for every solution.
Yes. Like if you make a suggestion and it's like, oh no, this won't work because of this, and this won't work because of this. And it's like, how about it will work? Let's look for a solution.
So what are some ways that you, if you find yourself being really negative all the time, what are some ways that you can make that switch?
Well, I can tell you some of the things that I do personally, because when I feel like I'm going down a rabbit hole of being negative, I just reflect and think about all the things I'm grateful for. I do write my affirmations, and I just try to change the trajectory of my thought process, because I can feel it. In the past, I could not identify that because I didn't know what it was. But now that I've been going through therapy for like 2 years and that I've been more self-aware, I know how to switch. I know how to switch it up.
Some folks, there are a lot more Black people now talking about going to therapy, actually going to therapy, and so forth. When do you think that switch happened? Because for a long time, that was not a thing in our community.
It was taboo.
Yeah.
It was taboo. Yeah. Well, to be honest with you, I've had different therapists for years, like, but never consistently. I've never did therapy more than maybe one or two times here and there. But then I just realized that I just want a better life. I want to be a better person. I want to help eliminate some of the dysfunction that I have within myself. And so I made that decision, and I didn't care what people thought. I really have never been that person where, oh, it's taboo, or oh, she's crazy, or I've never been that person. I've always believed in it, because I feel like, you know, when I look at people that actually can afford to, like stars and celebrities, people that have the resources to be able to have all these people on staff, and when they say, oh, I have a life coach, I have a therapist, I have a trainer, I have a chef, I was like, wow. You know, when you start to study people that are very successful and that are happy and that are whole, you start understanding what contributed to that, and you start breaking it down. And so that's what made me say, you know what, I have to be intentional about who I want to be, and I want to maximize my life. And so that's the way to do it, to help eliminate and address some of the trauma and things that I've been through that I've suppressed, to just try to just keep going through life.
So you want to go through life intentionally, as opposed to just letting it happen to you.
Yes.
So if you're a procrastinator, what's the procrastinator story?
Oh, Paris, the procrastinator. Well, Paris was in college, and she, you know, was a super duper procrastinator. And I can relate to that too, because just depending on what I have going on, I'll just keep putting it off, keep putting it off, keep putting it off, whatever the assignment is. Whatever the task is. And but what you realize is that you're creating stress, you're creating anxiety, you're creating things that you could have prepared for and did it in a breeze, versus having all this stress and, you know,
trying to get it done at the last
minute. And so that's really what her story is in a nutshell. And she pulled it off at the end, but she was stressed out. She almost, you know, failed out of school. So
what are some of the things that if you are a procrastinator, what are some things that you should be doing too?
So some of the things that you should be doing is, one, you need to eliminate some of your distractions, get organized, you know, try to, you know, declutter your mind. And then I don't know if you've ever heard of the Pomodoro technique. And that is kind of like that's a time management technique in which you work on a task for 25 minutes, set a timer for that amount of time. You work on a task, then you take a break, go back to the 25 minutes. You take like a 5 minute break, but then you go back, set the timer for another 25 minutes, take a break, And that helps you, one, to have uninterrupted time, but then it also gives you a small break to take a rest, but it keeps you on task and it makes you more productive.
What do you do in the break? Is that, I mean, is that where you get, grab some water?
Yeah, you go whatever to the bathroom,
whatever you need to do.
Yeah. But during that 25 minutes, you're not on your phone. You're not answering the phone. You're not doing anything other than what your designated task was to do at that time. So that's just one thing that I've used, especially at work, mm-hmm. especially when mm-hmm. you got a million things going on at one time. But that's just a couple of things. But there's a whole list of things in the book that people can do to help with procrastination. Yeah.
But the main thing, like you said, get organized, eliminate the distractions, mm-hmm. and break down those tasks. Mm-hmm. And every day spent procrastinating is another day spent worrying about that thing. Do it now and move on with your life.
Yes. Yes. Let's keep it moving.
If you're just joining us, we're talking about finding your inner power with Chyna Watson, author of Who Do You Think You Are? Give us a call. Let us know. Have you done any self-reflection and you'd like, or are you stuck in your self-reflection and you'd like to get some help? 757-440-2665 or 1-800-940-2240. Those are the numbers to call to join our conversation. 757-440-2665 or 1-800-940-2240. So you can either procrastinate or you could allow distractions to keep you mm-hmm. from doing what you're supposed to be doing. So let's talk about the distraction seeker. Who is that person?
So it's Danny. Danny is a distraction seeker, and he is a project manager, and he was really distracted by his girlfriend, who every 5 minutes she's FaceTiming him and she's doing, you know, all types of things, showing him her new outfits, and you know, and he's
sound
always
like she
posting.
Need to get a job.
She probably does. She had too much time on her hands. She had too much time. But he also was addicted to social media. So he could not focus on his work due to social media. And that's a lot of us, you know, that's why I fasted from social media for like 30 days one time before, because it just consumes you.
Wow.
Yeah.
I mean, and to a point where sometimes you really have to examine where you are in terms of how much you use it.
Yeah.
And how addictive. And there are all these studies now about how addictive
it is. It is. And, It's really unfortunate, because our younger generation, that's how they live their life, and they're less social now because they're always in their phone. They right. don't have face-to-face interaction, because they would rather text or be on TikTok or IG, mm-hmm. you know. So, mm-hmm. but yeah. So Danny ended up losing his job because of his distraction.
So as an HR professional, how real is that?
Oh,
that
people real. Actually
really?
Yes, yes.
I mean, somebody could actually lose their job because of social media? Because
oh,
of
absolutely.
Being distracted by social media.
Oh yeah. Not only is it because of what they post, but it can also be because they just can't get their work done.
Wow.
Yeah.
So the affirmation that you put in here, I am no longer allowing anything to distract me from my goals, dreams, and aspirations, both personally and professionally. Mm-hmm. I am focused. Mm-hmm. I am in control of whether I allow something or someone to distract me, and I will not allow it. I have my priorities in order, and nothing will stop me from my priorities. Distraction no longer lives here. So
yes.
again, back to the words matter.
Yes.
In yes. terms of, and how often then should you read these affirmations? Or, I mean, do you literally post them in front of you so that you can see them all the time? Or
I have done that. And actually, that was an assignment from my therapist at one point in time, was to take stickies and write affirmations and put them on my mirror. I've done that. And it was an assignment that I had to do every day for 2 weeks. Mm. And the reason why you need to, one, write it, read it, and then record yourself saying them. So it really gets ingrained in your spirit. So it
back to that mindset.
Oh,
change.
It's your mindset change. And but people don't think so. But I can tell you right now, if you do those things, it is ingrained in you. You start behaving in a way based on what you believe and what you say and what you write.
So there are some people that they say that it takes, seven times, I think, before something starts to click in. As we talk about these affirmations and these different types of personalities, are people one thing or
no?
Could you be facing, could you be a distraction seeker and a non-believer?
I have been all these things. I have been absolutely all of these different personas at one point or another, and I bounce between them. So you never fully arrive in life. It is a work in progress, and you always have to just be aware when you feel like you're slipping, you know, becoming more of a non-believer, or if you're becoming negative, you got to, you know, get back on track and change that mindset. But I have been every last one of these different personas at one point or another, and I really could be all of them in one day.
Honestly. 757-440-2665 or 1-800-940-2240. Monica joins us from Durham. Hi, Monica. You're on the air.
Hi, Barbara. Hi, China.
Hi. Hey, Monica.
Great to be here. I love your book. And I will say that I have been following you on social media for many years now, and that your positive affirmations that you've been posting on your Facebook page have actually helped me.
Well, thank you.
I think the biggest part, and I have to admit, I'm a recovering people pleaser. And I think sometimes when we do take a few moments to do self-reflection, the problem that comes to play, I know for me as a people pleaser, like you guys were talking about, the fact that we see ourselves in one light and other people see us in another light. And so when we think about changing some of the habits that we have or parts of our personality that people have grown to admire us for or depend on us to do those things, the hesitancy is the pushback that you're going to get. And I think, like
absolutely,
you said, the affirmations will help, going to therapy will help, because what you're doing is you're being more responsible for your life and letting your loved ones be responsible for the things in their life that they should have been doing in the first place.
Absolutely. Ooh. Go
Thank
ahead,
you,
China.
Monica. I appreciate you expressing your feedback, and you are spot on when it comes to allowing people to be responsible for their own lives, because when you think about it, it is our individual lives and we are responsible for it. And whether it's going to be good or bad, it's our responsibility.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, but she brings up a really good point. And thank you, Monica, for the call. We appreciate that.
Yeah, thank you, Monica.
But it brings up the point of, you know, Monica calls herself a people pleaser.
I've struggled with that too.
Me too. But you don't want to, or you find yourself being more concerned about what they think as opposed to what you think. And if you make a change, then they go, what's wrong with you? Why are you
acting funny? You acting different? You know, it's, you know, now you're wrong because you've chosen yourself. Because
you've chosen yourself first.
Yeah.
And you should not do that. 757-440-2665 or 1-800-940-2240. Tammy joins us from Los Angeles. Hi, Tammy. You're in the air.
Hello. I just have a question about accountability. If therapy isn't affordable, are there any guidelines for accountability as it relates to maybe mentorship or sponsorship when therapy isn't affordable?
Oh, it's a great question. Thank you, Tammy, for the call. We appreciate it.
Yeah. So my recommendation would be your community, and whether your community can consist of your church, your family, your closest, honest friends. Also, I do have mentors. I have sponsors as well. So those are really important too. However, sometimes if a mentor is not available, then it doesn't have to be anything formal. You just need someone that you can actually talk to that's going to give you honest feedback and that you can confide in.
But I get back to the point of, again, being open enough to accept it. I mean, yeah. Is that difficult?
You have to. It is difficult. It's very difficult because sometimes you don't want to hear what people truly see in you or, you know, their perception of you.
Yeah.
So.
And so how do you determine then if the perception people have of you is one thing and you have a totally different perception of yourself? Who's right?
Well, I can tell you that, you know, it depends on the total number of people who says this about you, because and you can ask people that are completely unrelated. You can ask a person from this, you know, from work and a friend and a parent or even someone who doesn't know you very well, mm-hmm. asking for their opinion. But you got to be open to receive. And not get offended.
And if all of them say the same thing.
And if all of them are saying the same thing and it's consistent, then it must be some truth to it.
Yeah. Just talked to Tracy from North Carolina. Hi, Tracy. You're on the air.
Yes, good afternoon, China and Ms. Barbara, I think it is.
Hi, yes.
Hi, uh-huh. Tracy.
Yes. Hi, yes. I'm in Durham, North Carolina, too. I was blessed and elated to meet China. Some months ago, a few weeks ago, for her book release, Who Do You Think You Are? And I was just totally blown away with she, her family, her testimony through her book and all the ups and downs of life. And so, China, you do an amazing job and you inspire me. Also, you're all in the scriptures with Habakkuk chapter 2, that you have the right division. That's absolutely true. And I did that 3 years ago. Where I did, and everything I wrote down, everything on that paper came to pass almost on that year. And then the same thing with life and death is in the power of the tongue.
Yes.
It absolutely is.
Yes.
It absolutely is. Yes. We can speak life and death. And I kind of, like you said, kind of have been in all of those realms all at the same time. I'm doing good, and I shoot myself in the foot, and I'm up and down all over the place.
Yeah.
It is a life process, and so we have to practice it every day. We have to fight because we do wrestle against flesh and blood sometimes within our own body.
Yeah.
And then the exterior people that also can bring that in. But great job. I hope you continue doing this.
Thank you.
Follow you. I'm all in this. So thank you. Blessings to you both.
Thank you, Tracy.
So much, Tracy. It was a pleasure meeting you too. I feel like I've known you forever. So thank you very much for your feedback. And also thanks for calling in and showing up to the book signing. I really appreciate it.
Thanks for the call, Tracy. We appreciate you. So there is a actual persona is the optimist.
Yes.
So I mean, it's not always all bad. We also can be positive, right?
Absolutely.
So that affirmation, I am an optimist. I think of the bright side of things, regardless of how bad or difficult something appears to be, by viewing it as the glass half full instead of half empty. I will put on my rose-colored glasses to view life no matter what is in front of me. I will look for resolutions instead of conflict or obstacles.
Yes.
I am an optimist, and I will always remain humble no matter how much I have or don't have. My attitude will always be positive and grateful. With consistent hard work, determination, and a positive outlook on my life, my circumstances will get better.
Yes. Oh, my gosh. I got chills just listening to you read that, because it's very difficult to do, especially in the midst of opposition during challenges. It's hard to remain an optimist sometimes. And I used to be told that I saw the world in rose-colored glasses. I remember my very first job, and they always would tell me that you're always seeing the good in everybody. Why don't you see what's really in front of you? And I'm like, well, I mean, but I believe in them. I think that they can change, or, you know, and so I had to make sure I included that, because it really helps you when, you know, you are in a crisis to look at the bright side. Yeah.
Yeah. Give you something to strive for also.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So who is the charismatic collaborator?
So this is about two different characters, Liam and Zach. And and so they have two different styles. So you have One that focused solely on because he knew all these elite people. And then you have the other one who was more humble and who actually networked and, you know, collaborated with all types of people. And that gentleman was more successful than the other gentleman because the guy who only focused on the high, you know, power clientele, they would make him just feel like he was nothing. The other gentleman felt more of the collaboration characteristics with the people he actually helped and was able to work with. And so his team grew a lot faster. He was able to be more successful. So I've shared the two characters because I know sometimes people are like, okay, it's not, you know, your network determines your net worth and all this stuff. And all that is true. It is true. But I'm also a believer in whatever's meant for me, I'm going to have. I don't have to fight and clobber and try to find that high power one client when I can have a multitude of the people that are down here.
Mm-hmm.
I'm fine with that. I can still make whatever I'm meant to have.
You said you made a statement when you said that his clients made him feel.
Oh, yeah.
I have heard people say, I can't make you feel a certain way, that you are the one who is doing that. Do you agree with that?
I don't know if I agree with that necessarily, because I feel like if you're told something a lot, like if you're told, oh, you're nothing, you will never be anything, you might start to believe that. If you don't know who you are, you will accept whatever label they put on you. So that's why this is super important that you understand who you are so that the external factors don't matter as much. Right. But people can take on what people tell them that they are.
And people will take that on easier than they will take on doing an affirmation saying, I'm okay, I'm good, I deserve good things, and so forth. So they'd rather, I don't know it's if they'd easy. Rather take it, it's just easier it's to take easy. The negative.
Uh-huh. And I think sometimes that they truly believe more negativity than positivity. And I just think that that's the way that the world is set up. Hmm. It's unfortunate.
Okay. The hustler and the go-getter. Yes. I love this story because I have always wondered why if you have this particular young lady happened to come from a lower income family and she faced all kinds of obstacles. But when you have two people who may grow up in the same public housing, let's just use that as an example, and you may have one that is so determined and they go and they do and they accomplish, and the other may not. It may stay stuck.
As a product of their environment.
Right, right.
Yeah.
What is there? Is it something innate inside of you that just says, I don't care what my external environment is, I'm going for it?
Mm-hmm.
Or why is there such a difference that everybody doesn't just try to go for it?
I definitely think it's an innate piece because I don't believe that that's something that you can give anybody. You can't train anyone to be a hustler or a go-getter. You either have it or you don't. Like that's something within themselves, you know, regardless. And you see it all the time in a family, even a well-off family. You always have, you know, one child that's this way and the other one is completely opposite. And you don't understand why. And you're like, they're raised the same way.
Yeah.
But it's their individual, you know, innate personality of what they want.
Tell us this young lady's story, because
it was powerful.
Yes,
wasn't it?
Yes.
Yeah. So her name is August, and she had been through a lot, had, you know, dysfunctional relationships. She was young. She actually, you know, was put out by her family, and she got pregnant, and she was just determined to make a change. She wanted more for her and her child, and she did whatever she had to do. She utilized all her resources. She worked many jobs because she was determined to have better. Mm-hmm. And this story is not exactly anything that I can relate to specifically in my life, but one thing I can tell you is I know a couple of people that kind of resembles this character, mm-hmm. that just has that ambition and determination that nothing's going to stop me.
So she worked 3 jobs,
mm-hmm.
was still in high school, and graduated with honors.
Graduated with honors. Yeah.
And kept pulling. I mean, it was mind blowing when you really think about it. But her affirmation, I am more than a conqueror.
Yes.
I will never quit until I am finished. I will not be defeated. There is no obstacle too big for me to tackle or overcome. I will accomplish all my goals and objectives, despite the odds against me or the giants that I faced. My motivation, my drive, and my willpower give me the strength to make it and to be successful. Just how do you write an affirmation for yourself? I mean, you know, you showed me a list of, mm-hmm. of your affirmations for today,
yep.
for today's show.
Yep, for this morning.
Yes. How do you do that? I mean, are there certain things that affirmations need to include?
Well, you definitely want to include that you are a part of that. So you want to write it in first person to say, I am X, Y, and Z. I am this. Because you want to already say it as if it already is, no matter what
it is. No matter what the situation actually is.
Yeah, you have to say it with conviction. And that's how you actually can achieve those things, because if you first think about it, then you write it, and then you say it, all of that is going into inside of you, and you will subconsciously start behaving to achieve those things that you say that you want. Just like if I say, you know what, I want a new house, I'm gonna get that house. I write it down. I start subconsciously doing things. Okay, what am I gonna do so I can get that house? And I'm telling you, everything that I say I want to do, for the most part, I've done it. I found a journal from 2004 when I was moving. And almost every single short-term goal and long-term goal I had almost met. Almost every wow. one of them. And I hadn't seen that journal in years. Years.
And you look back and say.
And I'm like, subconsciously, I was moving in that direction. And I didn't even see it anymore after I wrote it.
Wow.
That's how powerful words are. Whether you write, whether you say, whether you speak, whether you tell someone else, that's how mm-hmm. powerful it is.
You talk about journaling in the book. I mean,
yep.
that's a very important activity for you.
Yes, absolutely.
Every day still?
Not right now. I'm going to be honest with you, because I have been extremely busy. This year has just been taken me by a storm. I've had so many ups and downs this year already. It's no excuse, but I must tell you that I'm going to get back to it, because I really love it. And I had my whole routine in the mornings where I would get up at 4 a.m., go to the gym at 4:30, you know, work out for an hour, hour and a half, come home, read my devotion, write in my journal, pray, then take my shower, have my call with my mentor at 6:45, you know, like, it was a whole routine.
You had a whole day before you had your day.
I had a whole day before 8 o'clock. And I have to be honest, I have not been able to get back yet to my full routine. I've been mm-hmm. doing bits and pieces, but journaling is really something that's important to me. And I'm committed to getting back to doing it.
So if you have moments in time in life where you're not able to focus as much as you'd like,
yeah,
do you beat yourself up, or do you just say, tomorrow's a new day, it's a fresh start?
I used to beat myself up, but then I said, you know what, everybody else will do that for me.
Wow.
I said, everybody else will do that. So you know what? I might as well just say, nope. When they're like, oh, did you go to the gym today? No, I didn't make it. Oh, did you have your call with your mentor? Nope. And I'm okay with just saying no, but I used to feel convicted. I don't feel that way anymore. I'm like, nah, I didn't have time. Or I actually slept in. I was tired.
So you give yourself grace.
Mm-hmm. Now I do. But I used to feel guilty.
Wow.
Yeah.
So when you start this process, how do you overcome that feeling guilty part then? Because you know, you may not be able to keep this up every single day. This is a lot of work.
It is a lot of work. But you know what? When I went to my conference last week, what I realized is that it's about discipline and it's about keeping your word that you said that you wanted for yourself. And it's not really about anybody else. It's about you. What do you want? Do you want to be healthy? Do you want to, you know, keep your faith strong? Do you want to be unshakable in this world that's so chaotic and wild? Or do you want to be fragile? Do you want to be sick? Do you want to be on medication? What do you want? Mm. So you got to make a decision for yourself. As we talked about that, Monica said, each individual has to make that decision for them. It's their life. So regardless of what anyone says, I'm the one who has to decide what I want my life to be, what I want my future to be. So that's really what it boils down to.
We didn't talk about the person that perseveres all the time. But I love this affirmation. I want to read this one.
Okay.
I will not give up. I will not stop. I will continue to pursue my goals and objectives despite my challenges. There is a purpose for my pain and suffering, and I will overcome this. My priorities and my why is what keeps me going, determined, and persistent. I exhibit perseverance daily with everything that I do, and I will always keep going and remember why I started in the first place. Which brings us back to that thing. Why am I doing this?
Can I tell you a secret?
Sure.
So this character, this chapter, this is the only chapter in the entire book that actually is real life situation that I went through. This is really about me. So Jayana, who is the character in this story, is really me.
I was wondering if it was autobiographical.
It really, yeah. Other than the rest of the book was not, but that chapter is about me. It's something that I went through. It's actually exactly what I did during that time when I was sick. Mm-hmm. So, for any of you who don't have the book or have the book, if you read that chapter, you will really see exactly what I went through, and it's not make believe at all. Yeah.
China, we are out of time, believe it or not. But where can people get the book?
So you can purchase it on Amazon, on Barnes & Noble, or Goodreads.
And also, you have a website.
I do, chinawatson.com. I'm actually going to be launching my community soon. So if you want to stay connected with me, please follow me on social media as well as join my community, which is going to launch sometime, I think, at the beginning of June.
Okay.
Thank you so much. Thank you, Barbara.
And thank you, audience, so much for taking an hour of your life to spend with us here at Another View. To listen to this show again or to any of our Another View programs, go to whro.org/AnotherView and download the podcast. Or you can find us on your favorite podcast platform. Next week on Another View, we're going to have a very serious conversation about mental health challenges of African Americans in the public spotlight. It's an Another View on health that you absolutely will not want to miss. Our theme music is an original composition created especially for Another View by Jay Sennett. Lisa Godley is our show producer. Jordan Christie is our audio engineer, and Dr. Barry Graham answered our phones. I'm Barbara Hamlee. Have a fantastic weekend, everyone, and let's get together again next Thursday at noon for Another View.
Support comes from Hampton Roads Community Foundation, carrying out your charitable wishes forever. Whether it's helping shelter animals,
feeding the homeless, enhancing the arts, or supporting students. Learn more at leaveabequest.org.